know, think about this. You know, who are the people that give you, like, the best gifts? Usually someone who loves you the most and knows you the best, right? If somebody really loves you and knows you really well, they know what you like to get, don't they? Now, you know, before I got to know my father-in-law, I would have said, I'm going to give him a set of Cincinnati Reds tickets. Okay, but that would have been a bad call because he probably can't stand the Reds and would definitely love, though, Indians tickets, the Tribe, right? And so, but Lila would know that, his wife. She would totally, like, you know, what would John love? John would love to go to an Indians game, right? Because she knows him the best, loves him the most, right? Same way with my wife, you know, or just people that are close to us. They know what we like, and they usually give the best gifts, right? And so this morning, we're going to talk about the gift of the Sabbath, all right? And what we need to realize is that it really is a gift, okay? And that our Creator, God, knows us the best, loves us the most, and we need to realize that it actually is a gift, the Sabbath. And so many people, sometimes when they hear that name, depending on their experience, could mean like, oh man, the Sabbath is boring. Or the Sabbath is a bunch of rules. I can't do this on the Sabbath, and I can't do that on the Sabbath. Or, and again, it just depends on your experience growing up, you know, whether it was positive or negative or maybe neutral. And so this morning, though, we want to take a look at the Scriptures to see, what does the Bible say about the Sabbath? You know, is it even still to be observed today for us as New Testament believers? And what are we to do with that? Okay? So I'm just going to pray one more time here as we get into God's Word. Okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much again for your Word. Thank you for being able to gather together here as the people of God. And we want to acknowledge that we just want to put you first. And we want this time and everything about our time today to glorify you, point people to you, to remind us to get our focus on you, in one sense kind of set our compass to true north on you today, if we've kind of gotten off the mark. And so, Lord, we just ask and pray that you speak to our hearts through the Word today. We also just want to lift up people in our church family here who might be sick and hurting in any way. We just pray for your healing touch, for your presence to be made known to them, and also for your body, the church, Lord, to be able to serve and help them in any way that we see we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, now, the Sabbath, the concept of it goes literally all the way back to the beginning, okay? To the very beginning of creation, okay? And when you take a look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So here we have on the seventh day, right, God's resting, okay? Well, think about that for a minute. Does God get tired? Now, I can point you to other scriptures that says he doesn't grow tired or wearied, doesn't need any sleep, okay? No. What is he doing? What is he doing mentioning the seventh day as being kind of set apart and resting? He's setting a precedent. He's trying to set the tone for his creation, right? All right, a little Bible quiz if you're not in Genesis chapter 2. At the end of Genesis chapter 1, what did he create on day 6, the day before the day of rest? Yeah.
Humans.
Very good. Right. He created some creepy crawly things too, but then humans, and that's what I was looking for. He created Adam and Eve, right? And so I just think, and again, the text doesn't say this, but I just wonder, so day 6, you know, hey, the first full day humans are in existence is a day of rest, right? Day seven. I just don't think that's an accident, okay? Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of liking that rest idea, aren't you? Yeah, I can see this is going to be great. Yes. Yeah, so you know, but look, it says he blessed it, right? So God blessed the seventh day. There's something unique about one day and seven. Something unique. He blessed it and set it apart. That's what it means to be made holy. He set it apart as different from the other days. Okay? And we'll get more into that here in a minute. But I just want to mention that as you look, this goes back to creation. Okay? This goes back to creation, this idea. All right? Now, after God's people have been in slavery in Egypt, okay, once they're set free, God reminds them about the Sabbath principle. Okay, and I want to read about this here in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 31. All right, so it says, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. Now, let me just mention something here. I know I'm kind of dropping into the middle of something. But what's happening is, as God's people are traveling in the wilderness, and the eventual destination is the promised land that God had promised them, right? As they're wandering there in the desert, God makes a miraculous provision for them every day. Every day he provides something, and it names it here at the end of this passage, called manna. It refers to it as a bread type thing, but it just shows up every day, right? I mean, that's just amazing. And so every day, but God told his people, he says, listen, you're only to gather one omer, which is a quantity, right, a certain amount, per person. So it's like, just basically a day's worth per person. You're not supposed to get any more than that, just a day's amount. And, of course, some people just didn't think that was the way they should work. So they're like, hey, I need more than that. I mean, what if he doesn't come through on the next day, right? And so those that brought in the extra, they may remember what happened? It got maggots and worms. It rotted, And, of course, God fulfilled his promise every day providing that, right? And so he's miraculously providing for his people these 1 day's worth of manna, the 5 days. Then we get to the sixth day, and that's where we're dropping in here. On the sixth day, they gather twice as much bread, two omers each, and when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Okay, so they gathered twice as much on the sixth day as they did the other 5 days, and this time it won't rot. Okay? It won't rot. All right, so in verse 25 says, Moses said, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field with honey. So on the seventh day, he's like, hey, this is a special day. I'm not going to give you any manna out there. That's why you got to get 2 days worth on day six. Okay? So it's on day seven, nothing's coming down from heaven. All right? You got to get it while it's good, so to speak, while I'm providing it. Because there's something unique about day seven. Right? It says, today you will not find it in the field. All right, so it says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather it. See, there you go again, just like us, right? On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather it, but they found none. Why would they go out? He said it's not going to be there. But they were just, they just didn't trust God. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. That's what they called this miraculous provision. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made, and that was from the other patch, of honey. Okay? All right? Cut and paste didn't work for me, or I messed it up. But it had like a honey-like taste, and it was wafers. And so that's what God provided. So do you see this? There's the pattern again, right? He's saying, these 6 days, I'm providing what you need to eat. The seventh day is special. It's marked off, and I'm not going to provide that. I provided that food the day before, okay? All right. Now, fast forward to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, right? Exodus chapter 20. And the most verbose, the commandment that has the most verses set to it is the fourth commandment, which is to keep the Sabbath. Okay, he says here in Exodus 28-11, he says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." You see, he's making that connection back to creation, right? Saying, this is why I did that, right? And so here we have, in the law. So a lot of people just, when they try to jettison the Sabbath and say, that's not for us today, they say, well, that's the law. That's the law, and Jesus fulfilled the law. So therefore, we don't have to do that. We don't have to observe that. I'm set free from that, right? Well, I don't think that's really true, okay? I think that, this is what go back to creation. They call this a creation ordinance. It was something God set up and wired us to be this way. He did not make us to work 24/7, okay? Whereas maybe 24/7 is great for customer service, he didn't create each one of us to work, 7 days a week, okay? And so we cannot live that way. We're not created to live that way, all right? And so now, some people get legalistic about this, okay? Now, I'm going to get into particulars here in a minute, but some people get very, so there's the two extremes. There's the legalistic aspect where somebody can say, well, okay, we're not doing anything. We're just going to sit there and look at the paint dry all day long in the living room, and meditate or something, we can't watch a movie. We can't play cards. Heavens no. Can't do that. We can't enjoy ourselves because we're meant to be serious, And I say, those are totally wrong ways of thinking about the Sabbath, okay? As we'll see here in a minute. But this Jesus talks about the Sabbath. In one of the places he talks about it is in Mark 2. All right, Mark 2, verses 23-28. And so there it says, on one Sabbath, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Always looking at other people, right? Always looking to point out people that broke, by the way, their extra rules, right? Their rules to interpret what God had said, type of thing. And so they're saying, "Hey, look at those guys. They're working on the Sabbath, sinners." So that's my commentary. And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did?" So Jesus is just coming right back to him. "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he was hungry and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" So Jesus is kind of pointing out that this Sabbath principle is meant to bless us. Okay, have you ever heard that term, you know, the tail's wagging the dog? Right? And Sabbath can be used that way, where we're serving the Sabbath. You know, there's all these things you can't do, you know. And so we end up kind of like serving the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath kind of being a blessing to us the way God meant it to be. So Sabbath was meant for us, right? Not us. We were not created for the Sabbath. All right, we've got to get it straight. And Jesus was pointing this out, okay? So those scriptures, I think, show us that, again, this is a creation ordinance. This is not something that just goes away, okay? And so we need to embrace the Sabbath as a gift from God that he wants to use to bless us, okay? That he wants to use this gift of the Sabbath as a blessing to us. I like this verse here in Isaiah 58, which talks about and uses the phrase delight in the context of Sabbath. Okay, Isaiah 58, 13 to 14 says, If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not by going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you right on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's supposed to be a day of delight in the Lord, okay? I don't see the word delight as, or any way of thinking about delight as, like, boring, you know, some of the things that people think of when they think of Sabbath keeping. God wants the Sabbath to be a blessing to us, all right, as Jesus reiterated. It's made for us, okay? Now, a couple things just to mention here regarding all these scriptures and all this. But the big thing is you need to see, just like I mentioned to you, that the people closest to you that know you the best give the best gifts. You need to see that not working one day out of seven is a gift from God, okay? And it needs to be received as a gift, okay? Embracing it. All right, so when I receive the gift of the Sabbath, I'm refusing to bow to the idols of success and productivity, okay? Why would someone work 7 days a week? Well, it could be maybe they're not very efficient in the other 6 days. That could be one reason. But a lot of times it's because, well, I can make more money. It's all about the money. It's all about getting ahead, right? If I work that extra day, I'll get ahead. I'll look good to the boss, you know, whatever, okay? But by us refusing to work every day of the week and taking some time to not work, we're saying, I'm not going to bow to that. I'm not going to submit to that, okay? Have any of you ever heard of it's not only an online retailer, but they actually have a storefront called B&H Photo. B&H Photo, okay? It's a big electronic shop run by Hasidic Jews, okay? Big outfit. I mean, you search any electronics items, B&H Photo is going to come up in the top of the Google search list, okay? Well, because it's run by Hasidic Jews, and they're very serious about, you know, following the Sabbath, okay? And for them, that starts from Friday night to Saturday night. Guess what? Friday night to Saturday night, you can't even place an online order on their place. It says, you know, hey, sorry, we answer to a higher authority. That's actually what they said. We answer to a higher authority. That's why we do this. Their shop's not open, right? I mean, they, you know, Sunday's a big shopping day. Saturday's a big shopping day, right? But they don't do it. Well, listen, this is our one day in seven. We're taking off, right? Chick-fil-A, the same way, except for Sundays, right? They take Sundays off, but for that reason. They want their work to not be open 7 days a week, okay? And so, now, don't take from that that I'm against any business that's running 7 days a week. Okay, I'm really just talking about us as individuals not working every day of the week. Okay, not working our jobs 7 days a week. Okay, but I just think it's as we see some of these companies, you know, thriving, and it does not seem to be hurting their bottom line by keeping this principle. That's pretty amazing to me. Pretty amazing to me. So they're kind of refusing to, you know, and by the way, think about Black Friday. Think about Black Friday. You know, if that B&H Photos shut their website down on Black Friday, they shut it down. I mean, they're again, it's about this principle that, hey, God wants to bless us. Why would we want to not receive that blessing? Okay, that's what they're thinking. Okay, now, so when I receive the gift of Sabbath, I'm remembering my identity comes from being God's daughter or son, not from what I do. Okay, it's very easy for us to get our identity from what we do and what we produce. Okay, but think about this. We're first human beings, not human doings. We are human beings. We need to learn to be and learn what it means to be in God's presence more and walk in His ways. And if we have a day that we can spend some time focusing more on that than doing, God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it. So we, you know, when we're not working that day, whatever day that is, and I don't think it has to be a particular day, in my opinion, one day over another. Like for me, I mean, this is a day of work for me. I mean, I'll work 7 hours today, okay? That's just the way it is. So this is not a Sabbath for me, okay? So I take mine on Friday. Friday is my day off. It's the one day I don't work. So for a lot of other people, you know, that's going to be, you know, maybe it's going to be a Saturday or a Sunday or something like that. But again, I don't think we have to be, I think this is where we can avoid the legalism trap, is that some people are in unique work situations. Some people are nurses and doctors and EMS people and firefighters and, you know, they're working today, right? But they're off another day, right? They can observe the Sabbath on another day, right? And so, but this is what we're doing when we are observing the Sabbath, and as we receive it as a gift, what we're doing is we're really taking time to remember whose we are. Now, the other thing that's happening, right, when you think about it, is that when we're deciding to receive Sabbath as a gift and we're not going to work that day, we are trusting that what God gives us, quote, gives us in quotes, meaning what we receive on the Sabbath, will make it so that I can get done what needs to get done on the other 6 days. In other words, you know, I don't have to fret about it. God knows He's sovereign. I tell you what, I think that sometimes the Lord, just as He replenishes us on the Sabbath, whatever day that is for us, then we're more efficient and more productive on the other days, okay? And so I just think that this is an issue of trust and faith, right? So if we're going to observe this Sabbath principle, receive it as a gift, it's really is saying, am I going to trust God that He wants to bless me by focusing on Him this day and some other things, but not work? I'm not going to work. Right? And that's a trust thing, right? That's a trust thing. It's going to grow your faith. It's kind of like, think about tithing, similar way, right? In a similar way, I trust God that when I put Him first in my finances and give Him my best, then the first 10%, if you will, if you want to use that, then I'm trusting that He'll provide for the other stuff that I need, right? And that's radical. This really is just a radical thing, right, in our society, in our culture. It's counterculture just like those two businesses I mentioned earlier, B&H Photo and Chick-fil-A, that's counterculture in the business community. You and I deciding to set apart whatever day it is as a Sabbath unto the Lord our God and not working in our jobs is a countercultural move. Now, I want to mention a few things by way of just taking some action on this, okay? So what could you do? And so so this is where we get to the brass tacks, okay? So if you are going to receive the Sabbath gift that God has given us, right? You need to decide on what day is that going to happen for you, okay? And like I said, because it might be different for different people, but depending on what their schedule is, even by week, right? You need to decide what that is for you. Like I said, for Linda and I, it's Fridays, okay? That's what works for us. But you have to make a decision, okay? This is not going to happen by accident. Hearing this message, even maybe agreeing with it in your mind, doesn't change anything. And maybe you're already doing this. I don't know, okay? Refraining from working on a particular day, all right? Now, when I say working, a lot of people are like, does that mean I can't mow my lawn? Does that mean I, you know? I'm saying, like, what's your job? Okay, what is your job? Okay, you say, well, you know, I'm talking about refraining from that. Okay, and so for me, I don't like mowing lawns, so I'm not going to do it on my Sabbath. Okay, unless I absolutely have to, because I don't like. But I knew other people. Oh man, it fills their tanks to mow their lawn. I don't know what's wrong with them, but that's what happens. I mean, so, but I'm saying, so, you know, we're not talking, when we say working, we're not saying you can't do anything. I think, again, what's the principle? The principle is it's there to bless us, right? And I don't think he ever meant it to be that, oh, you can't watch movies, you can't even, you know, do this or that and the other. No, it's like refraining from work, right? Think back to when the Israelites were enslaved. They're working like every day, right? They're working every day. And I imagine it was like a shift of gears for them to not work one day out of seven. Now, I'm sure they were elated to be not in slavery, but I'm just saying, you know, that would be a change of lifestyle. So this may shock and rock some of your worlds, okay, to make a change. So some people are like, I don't know if I could even do 24 hours of what you're talking about, okay? Well, can you do 12? Can you do that? I'm saying start somewhere. Make a decision, okay? And I'll just be honest with you guys. So I have not really been good at this and really started to be a little bit more intentional in my life except for since June. Because I would always slip into, you know, because I'm working for the church and teaching math part-time, so I'll be thinking, oh, man, I got a load of papers to grade, man. You know, so I'd end up working like all the time, and not in any way boasting about that. I don't think that's anything to boast about, actually. If anything, it's something to be ashamed of. You know, and so I would just be finding myself slipping always into work mode, right? It's not healthy, right? It's not healthy, and so I'm coming to you as a person who is in the process of doing better at this. I stand here not in judgment over anyone, but to say, I believe this is something the Scripture tells us that still applies to us today, and that we should receive this as a gift. And so for me, Fridays is it. What's it going to be for you? Right? You have to make a decision. Now, I'll tell you what, I bet there are 1,000 questions people have here. And a lot of people say, well, I've got kids, man. You don't have kids anymore. They're off and gone. I'm like, can you imagine, you know, what's that going to look like, you know? Okay, so I would say this. I'm going to, if you guys are on our email list, I'm sending out a link later today. And it's to a message that somebody else gave, and it's a Q&A on some practicalities that a lot of people have questions about, family questions, this question, that question. And so now, So the message, and by the way, one of the reasons this came up in my life, this topic, is because our association of churches in the pastors' conference this year invited in an outside speaker by the name of Peter Scazzaro, who wrote a series of books called The Emotionally Healthy, and then fill in the blank, Leader, Emotionally Healthy, Christian, whatever. One of the aspects that he spoke on at the pastors' conference was just the Sabbath principle, right? And pastors are notorious for, you know, thinking that they're Superman, you know, or that everybody needs them, and if they're not on call, you know, the whole world's going to fall apart, and, you know, just that kind of thing, and just working a lot. So it was a good word to hear, right? And so the message link I'm sending out is the message that Pete Scazzaro and the guy who's pastoring the church that he founded, they're doing a Q&A together on this topic of the practicalities, of the logistics, questions that people have, okay? So if you're on our email list, emailing list, then you'll get that, okay? Now, I'm going to say this because you need to realize that I kind of assume people think this, but I found out in the past they don't always think this. And that is, just because I send you a link to a message that church gave, it doesn't mean I believe everything that church believes, okay? I've had some people going to say back, oh, Pastor, you're leading people astray because you endorse this church that has some beliefs that are different from Darby Creek. You know, I'm like, no, I didn't. I was like, hey, what they said was truth here. Hey, okay, so I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there to say, you know, I hope you're a discerning believer, okay? But I like this message. I think it answers a lot of questions. So enough said, okay? I just want to mention that. So, yeah, like, don't send me any emails, okay? That's what I'm saying, okay? All right. So make a decision on the day that you'll be resting from work. Decide what you will do to spend some extra focused time with God. You know, one of those verses that we read, it says, a Sabbath to the Lord our God. There needs to be, I think, some focus in extra time with the Lord, right? I'm hoping that on a regular basis during the week, you're already spending some time with God in His Word and in prayer. But now I'm talking about, you know, just kind of seeking the Lord. Spend more time with Him, right? Maybe reading some book or in addition to the Scriptures, that's going to help bring you closer to God. Maybe addressing some area of your life as a son or daughter of God that you need God to minister to you on, okay? Because I think as we set apart this day and as we seek the Lord, He's going to bless it. He's going to speak into your life. He's going to help you. He's going to speak to you in that time that you're carving out for Him, okay? So I'd say, you know, you have to decide what you're going to do. Like, I try not to read things about my work. Okay, so I like to read books on preaching. I like to, you know, and like otherwise, you know, I'm probably in the wrong profession if I didn't like to read about preaching. But I don't want to read those books on those days. Now I could. I've got freedom to. Not a problem. But that kind of gets me into work mode and all that. So I try to read other things. That one of the books I'm reading has to just deal with kind of leaving a legacy. As I grow older, thinking about just what does that look like behind me? What am I leaving behind? Just thinking, and it had nothing to do with work. Just in general. In addition to spending some extra time in the Word, seeking God. So, you know, but again, you have to kind of decide what you're going to do, usually, in advance. You're planning it out, right? Not to say that God won't take you in a different direction when you're there. You know, He can do that. Now, make plans to do something that will refuel your tanks, okay? And this is why I say, you know, that word delight. Delight, I when it talks about the Sabbath, delight, I think God wants us to engage in things that will refuel our tanks, that emotionally, spiritually, all that. And so, just to give you an example, and this is where I think it just kind of blows people's stereotype of Sabbath, is that they're like, well, if I enjoyed it, it can't be of God, you know? Like, no, you know, you don't know the God of the Bible then, okay? Well, so Linda and I... So this spring started doing some bike riding, okay? And we've really been enjoying it. And so on some of our Fridays, so I'll just tell you about one Friday. One particular Friday, we loaded up the bikes. We went down to Nelsonville, okay, which is going south. And we just, some friends of ours told us about, the Hemingers told us about a trail that we could ride on, and it has to be flat if it's us. Anything like this, and you're just going to have to call the squad. Paul's going to be coming to pick me up in a big red bus, okay? So you have to, we have to do our homework. You have to see, you know, how, what's the elevation and all that stuff. But anyway, we went down there, and Linda is really good about scouting things out. So she found a gluten-free bakery down there because she has to eat gluten-free. She has an allergy. And we loved it. It was great. We got to sit outside. Nelsonville is this little bitty town. You know, and when I first got there, I was kind of waiting for a tumbleweed to go by, you know. But the bakery was just awesome. Just awesome. I mean, I like food anyway, too. So we had coffee and some stuff to eat. We just sat outside. It was just two of us. And it was a blessing. It was just fun. And then we went on the bike ride, and it was just kind of went in and out along the river down there. Okay, now you can go a long ways. You can go all the ways to Athens. Well, we didn't make it that far, okay? We went like 7 miles and came back, I think it was. But it was refreshing for us, okay? Now, you may think about that and say, oh, Lord, that just sounds like work. I'm not doing that. Well, that's okay. Okay, but so what is it? You have to think about what are the things that you enjoy doing that replenish you, okay? And I think that God wants us to engage in those things on our Sabbath. It's supposed to be a day of rest and things that will be a delight to us, you know? And the reason I'm putting this as a part of this series talking about loving your neighbor is because if you're going to love your neighbor, you got to love them from a place of being full, right? And you know, there are some challenging situations the Lord may have you be a part of in people's lives. It could be very draining. You have to refill the tanks, okay? You have to refill the tanks. And so I just encourage you, you think about the things that you enjoy doing that really replenish you. And plan those out. Plan those out, you know. And so the other thing that we do is we like coffee. So this helps me too. And you're going to learn a lot about me here in this statement, is that if I'm going to ride my bike, I want it to take me to some food. And some coffee. Yes. Can I get another? No. So it's kind of like a destination. You got a destination, right? And I'm not saying I wouldn't ride it if I didn't have it, but I really like to ride the food and coffee. I really like that. And we like coffee. And so, you know, if you don't like coffee, that's cool. But I'm just saying, you get the idea? All right? You know, just find something that you can participate in that will fill you up. Okay, now, decide what you won't do. Now, I can't decide what that is for you, okay? You know the things that are going to, like, suck you back into the work world, okay? Maybe for you, it's like, I'm not going to turn on my computer because I know when I turn that thing, all the emails pop in, and I get sucked into an email for work, you know? You just have to pray about that, and maybe it's a discovery thing. Maybe you decide that, oh, I think I can handle doing such and such and not get sucked into my work world, but then you realize, no, you can't. It's a learning thing, I think, you know? So, again, I'm not going to give you a list of things, but you just pray about it, all right? And there are some things that you'll probably want to refrain from doing because you know that they get you linked into your work, okay? And then you kind of miss out on these things. I want to mention here, just a quote that I heard from Eugene Peterson talking about this topic. He summarizes this topic. He says, we make the Sabbath holy when we set aside a day to pray and play. And I think that's good. I think that just in a sentence just kind of captures it. Set aside the Sabbath as a time to pray, seek God, and to play, be replenished. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd help us to to really get the essence of the Sabbath principle that you have for us. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to receive it and to see that when we set aside that time when we're not working, that one day in seven, that you do bless. And it's an issue of trust. It's an issue of not buying into this the system that says that we have to always be working and so on. And Lord, help us to reconnect with you on whenever our Sabbath is. Help us, Lord, to refill our tanks spiritually, emotionally, even physically on those days, so that we can be a conduit of your love to other people, so that we can even have more to minister to our own family. God, we need your help, because everything, so many things in our society work against doing this and cry for our attention. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to seek you. And even as we set apart those times of Sabbath, that you would bless us in growing in our relationship with you. We ask it all in Jesus' name.